Good morning and welcome. You're listening to News18.com's Daybreak. Good morning, everybody. I'm Zoya Mateen, and you're listening to News18's Daybreak. Let's have a look at some of the top stories to watch out for today. Now, the political mood before the Lok Sabha election certainly seems to be shifting and mounting, with the rivals BSP and SP uniting after 24 years to take up on the BJP in the Lok Sabha elections. In a historic joint press conference, the party leaders Mayawati and Akhilesh Yadav announced their alliance. The two parties will contest on 38 seats each in Uttar Pradesh, leaving the two Congress bastions of Bareilly and Amethi, and keeping two aside for future allies. Mayawati has called the decision a political revolution that would cause Guru Chela, in a reference to Modi and Amit Shah, to lose their sleep. She has said that the tie-up is permanent and would continue in the upcoming assembly elections as well. This alliance has the potential to change the outcome of the Lok Sabha elections in the state, where the BJP and its allies scooped 73 seats out of the 80 in 2014. This means that from an entirely saffron, now the UP could turn predominantly red, blue, green, the colours of SP and BSP flags. It's important to note that the Congress will not be a part of this alliance, which has come out as a huge snub to the grand old party. Now, in a speech that began minutes after the BSP leader Mayawati and SP leader Akhilesh Yadav formally announced their alliance, Prime Minister Narendra Modi thrashed the idea of a grand alliance against the BJP as a failed experiment. He said, and I quote, "We want a strong government so that we can put an end to corruption. A failed experiment known as the Grand Alliance is being attempted these days. They have all come together to create a hapless government from which their relatives can benefit." In an 80-minute speech at the BJP National Convention, the Prime Minister asserted for a renewed mandate with formidable numbers and sought to address the two major issues that the opposition has been targeting, the Rafale deal and the agrarian crisis. Now, at the same time, Rahul Gandhi, on his maiden visit to the UAE, made it clear that neither he or his party were consulted before the decision of the alliance between SP and BSP was made. But he also said that he wasn't disappointed over the same, terming the decision of the alliance to keep the Congress out of their pre-poll agenda in the 2019 Lok Sabha polls a political one. Rahul Gandhi vowed that his party will fight for each Lok Sabha seat in the state with full zeal and energy. He said that the political decision of an alliance is respected by him and his party alike, but even now, the Congress will do its work and will fight with the zeal and vigour and won't back down. Rahul Gandhi is slated to address 10 public meetings in Uttar Pradesh this February and is also going to make more frequent visits in the state in the run-up to the polls in a bid to boost the party's prospects. Moving on. Now, as Kerala grapples with protests over women entering the Sabarimala temple, a similar situation is emerging further south in the Agastyakoodam, the second highest peak in the state. On January 5, the Kerala Forest Department opened online bookings to women for the first time for the treks to the hilltop. This is after the Kerala High Court ordered for an end of the ban on women's entry to the high peak inside the Nair Wildlife Sanctuary. The hill is one of the toughest trails in India. In just 3 days, the department received a tremendous response with over 600 women applying for trekking permits during the season, which starts from mid-January. The peak is believed to be the chosen abode of the Hindu sage Agastya, who is considered to be a celibate. Before the HC verdict, women were not allowed to trek beyond the base camp in Athirimala, which is 6 kilometers below the hilltop. Now, a batch of 100 women will be making a trek up to the Agastyakoodam mountain peak, and this has once again sparked protest in the region. The Brihan-Mumbai Electric Supply and Transport, or the BEST, has entered its seventh day of strikes in Mumbai. About 32,000 employees have been on a strike since last Tuesday over various demands, which include higher salaries and merger of budgets. More than 3,200 buses have been off the streets, causing a massive inconvenience to over 25 lakh commuters of the city. The strike called by the Best Bus employees continues as the meeting between the High Power Committee formed by the state government and the Best Employees Union leaders failed to break the standoff. Shashank Rao, who is the president of the Striking Workers Union on Saturday, said that the committee chaired by Maharashtra Chief Secretary heard out their demands but did not give any response. He said that even though the meeting was positive and their demands and problems were heard, the strike is going to continue. The High Power Committee, on the other hand, had asked the Best Union to submit 3 demands in writing. The committee will now submit a report to the Bombay High Court today. In order to provide relief to the commuters, 2,000 buses were put on road by private bus operators and school bus owners on Saturday. Anil Garg, member of School Bus Owners Association, had announced on Friday that 1,000 school buses and another 1,000 private buses would be pressed into service on Saturday in view of the continuing Best Buses strikes. The Supreme Court is scheduled to hear the appeal filed by former Congress leader Sajjan Kumar challenging the Delhi High Court's verdict that convicted and sentenced him to a life term in the 1984 anti-Sikh riots case. The High Court had sentenced Kumar on December 17 to spend the remainder of his life in jail for his involvement in the killing of 5 Sikhs in Delhi Cantonment's Rajnagar area and the burning down of a Gurudwara in the same area on November 1st and 2nd, 1984. All right, now let's have a look at some of the top stories from the past week that you may have missed. Now, the plot continues to thicken within the CBI. Supreme Court Judge A.K. Sikri, whose vote helped decide CBI Chief Alok Verma's removal from the top post, has turned down a post-retirement offer from the government. He has also communicated to the centre that he isn't interested in any job after he retires on 6th of March. Justice Sikri was nominated to the post of a president or member of the London-based Commonwealth Secretariat Arbitral Tribunal, the CSAT. The opposition had questioned the centre's choice at that time. The CSAT is the final arbiter of disputes amongst its 53 member countries of the Commonwealth. The members are appointed on a 4-year term, which may be renewed only once. The top court judge Sikri, second in seniority after Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi, was expected to join the CSAT soon after retirement. Sources have said that Justice Sikri wrote to the centre and said that he was pained by the recent developments in an apparent reference to the criticism his vote invited following the dismissal of Alok Verma as the CBI chief. What's more is that opposition leader Mallikarjun, who was the member of the Prime Minister-led selection committee that removed Alok Verma as CBI chief, has said that the government didn't share a very crucial report of the inquiry with the CBC. The report in question here is one by Justice A.K. Patnaik, who supervised the CBC inquiry into allegations against Verma. The report had said, and I quote, that no evidence of corruption against Verma has been found, and what the CBC says cannot be the final word. Next up, President Ramnath Kovind on Saturday gave his assent to the Constitution amendment that provides 10% reservation to the economically backward section in the general category for government jobs and education. The Constitution 124th Amendment Bill of 2019 was passed in the Lok Sabha on Tuesday and the Rajya Sabha a day later, even as leaders from opposition parties questioned the government's haste in pushing the bill through just months ahead of the 2019 general elections. A notification in the Official Gazette stated, legislation will be known as the Constitution 103rd Amendment Act of 2019, and that it shall come into force on such date as the centre notifies. The 10% reservation will be in addition to the existing 50% reservation given to the SCs, STs and the OBCs, taking the total reservation to 60% in all. Among the sections that it targets are the poor among the upper castes. The people who qualify in the general category are going to be individuals whose family together earn less than Rs 8 lakh per annum and who have less than 5 acres of agricultural land. Now, what this means is that the quota would nearly cover 190 million people of the country. The move is ideally being seen as the BJP's attempt to reach out to upper caste groups as the Patidars, the Jats, and the Marathas, who have been lobbying for reservation for a very long time. A petition against the bill has already been filed in the Supreme Court on the grounds that such a mandate is against the very structure of our constitution and hence stands as invalid. Now, on the cricket front, all-rounders Shubham Gill and Vijay Shankar have been called on as replacements for Hardik Pandya and KL Rahul for the ongoing one-day international series against Australia and the limited overs New Zealand series. This happens after Pandya and Rahul have been suspended for the controversial comments they made on women on the chat show Coffee with Karan. Right, so that's all for today, but we'll be back again same time tomorrow. In the meantime, please don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter Daybreak at news18.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Zoya. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening. Stay updated by visiting news18.com.